It's day two of Draft 101 with Tim Benz and Matt Williamson. Matt, our pro and college scouts, who you can hear with me on all of our broadcasts at ESPN Radio on Wednesday nights for Countdown to Kickoff. You can also hear him on the pregame show on DVE. Read him at Steelers.com. Listen to him on SNR on The Drive with Dale Lawley. And you can check him out on the Peacock and Williamson podcast as well. We talked about the secondary for day one of Draft 101 for our week-long exploratory look at the NFL draft. And today we go to the front seven, Matt. And I'm intrigued with the front seven, especially from a Steelers point of view in this draft class, because I don't know what the Steelers front seven is anymore. Do you? I'm very confused as to who they're looking at, why they're looking at them, and the evolution of what the Steelers front seven really is at this point.
Yeah, and the league is changing very rapidly in that you're seeing more and more zone, you're seeing more and more two high safeties, you're seeing less blitz across the league, and the Steelers reflect that too. And you're not going to see a lot of the old school LeBeau 3-4, although that's still part of the package. I don't think this team has a need or a desire for a Casey Hampton in the middle, nor does most of the league. You wouldn't turn your nose up at that guy, but you need more pass rush. I do think that these positions are becoming more and more interchangeable. I didn't see the Leal pick coming because I don't think Dick LeBeau would have even considered drafting LaMarvin Leal last year. I mean, he can stand up, he can go down. So I think they're, as the league is just looking for disruptive frontline players. And I don't love, if we start with the 300 pounders in this class, you know, we could call them defensive tackles, noses, 3-4 ends. It's not a particularly strong class. There are some names I like, but finding the next Cam Hayward isn't going to come easy this year.
So when I hear the name that's brought up a lot, and, you know, it's a name that I think Steelers fans have fallen in love with because of the image of what he could be, Lucas Van Ness from Iowa, that name is bandied about quite a bit. And the Steelers did go and visit with him and look at him at Iowa's pro day, a sophomore edge, 6'5", 275. I don't know what that is in the Steelers defense. Is that TJ Watt? It's not Highsmith. It's not Cam Hayward or Stephon Tuitt. What is he?
He's very interesting to me. And in the end, I think if you brought him in, he would be a bull in the china shop disruptor. And it's funny, I just wrote something about him this morning, and I did look at it through a Steeler lens, that if they were to take him, I think this is what he is. I think he's a more athletic, slightly bigger version of Bud Dupree coming out of school. You know, a run through you guy, power player, but he bends and changes directions a little bit better than Bud. And I wonder if they were to add him, would it be with the Aaron Smith plan in place, where kind of like Leal, you know, where he's disruptive his rookie year. You keep putting on weight. He has the length that maybe he gets up to 290 and turns into an Aaron Smith type player with more athleticism. And he may not even be there at 17, but that's a little bit too much projection for me to say, boy, turn the card in at 17, because he does have to play a position. I am a believer in this positionless football and all that, but in the end, he has to have a trump card. And I'm not sure what that is for Pittsburgh.
Especially since so much of the improvement, or the hope to continue improving, they were up and down with it, but they were better against the run last year than they were the year before. And I don't think the trend to continue to keep getting better against the run is to be that much smaller on the edge. They still need Hargrave, Ogunjobi, Hayward, Tuitt types. Are there any guys like that in this draft?
Well, Jalen Carter is the best player in the entire draft, and I know he has some off-the-field issues, but folks, you're out of luck. He's not going to be there at 17. Forget about it. He's a superstar. The guy that most reminds me of Cam Hayward in that style of player is Clemson's Brian Brisset. And really interesting story. He's a five-star recruit. We know Clemson's loaded. Mm-hmm. As a true freshman, he was Clemson's best defensive player. He's had a couple major injuries since. And unfortunately, it's terrible, but his younger sister passed away right before this past season. And he easily could have hung it up for the year, and he didn't. And he fought through injuries, and he fought through that hardship, and didn't put his best tape out there. But he's extremely high character, leader, a power player like Cam that they'll even line up outside the tackle. They'll put him all over the defensive line, does the dirty work. Now, if you told me you're cashing in 17 for Brissé right now, I would kind of say, maybe, maybe not. I'd rather see how the first 16 fall. I wouldn't have a problem with it, especially because the defensive tackles are light this year, that he would fit in very well around here, in my opinion.
I really liked him at Clemson. Another guy I like that is a little smaller than that, but again, with an eye towards putting on some weight, and certainly was an effective college player in the Pac-12, the kid from USC, Tui Puloto.
I think you nailed it. Tui Puloto.
Puloto, there you go.
I watch him, and maybe I haven't watched the right tape. Maybe I should watch a highlight tape, because I don't see him making enough plays. And there aren't many guys nowadays that I would call a tweener, but I think he's a tweener.
A tweener between what?
like a 4-3 D end and an upfield Aaron Donald 3 technique. And he doesn't have great length. And I know the 3-4-4-3 thing doesn't matter for Pittsburgh nearly as much as it used to. I don't think he's disruptive enough. I mean, maybe with the second of your second round picks, and he's not for me. And maybe I just have a blind spot for him or haven't watched the right tape, but I just don't see it on tape. I don't see a lot of twitch.
Is there another player beyond Brissé who is of that mold that if they don't get him in the first round and they're thinking corner or something else, that they can get, say, on day two?
A guy that I'm coming around on, but slowly, is Michigan's Mazi Smith.
Okay, and I've heard that name brought up before.
Yeah, he's a wide-bodied. He's a nose. I mean, he's much more of a nose. But he is possibly the freakiest athlete in this entire draft, pound for pound. Like, there's almost urban legends about Michigan had to change their weight room for this guy because some of their machines didn't have enough weight. And he doesn't do 225 reps. He does 325 reps. And he moves unbelievably well. He has half a sack in his whole career, though. You know, so the production doesn't match it. But, boy, there is a lot there to work with. And he would be an upfield power nose that just has a ton of ability.
Gervon Dexter Sr., what about him? He's a sophomore, kind of a little bit smaller than that, 6'6", 312, but I believe the Steelers have him scheduled for a visit, if I'm remembering correctly.
I bet they do, because he looks like their type of 3-4 defensive ends. Very long, huge hands, long arms, lock you out. A lot of work to do technique-wise. He can get his pads kind of high, but he's not stiff. I mean, it's just coming off the ball too high. I think he needs work, but there's a high ceiling there and is an obvious scheme fit with this team.
I'm going to give you just rapid fire here. Three other names up front that I know the Steelers have at least been linked to, two directly because they met with them. Zach Harrison of Ohio State, 6'6", 272. Kind of like Van Ness Light, if you will.
Yeah.
A later
more finesse. More finesse than Van Ness. Crazy long arms. He's another one that would probably show up here as a 3-4 outside linebacker and maybe grow his way into an Aaron Smith role, but I think he's more of an edge.
This guy was one who apparently blew up at his pro day, and the Steelers were there. Iowa State's Will McDonald. He's more of a 3-4 outside linebacker, like a traditional, like almost like a James Harrison size 3-4 outside linebacker, right?
Not nearly as thick. I mean, like, he has a very narrow waist, unlike James.
Well, he's taller than Harrison, but he's
taller, longer, highly, highly productive, super twitchy, pure 3-4 outside linebacker. Like, not great versus the run. He got to Iowa State. He was like 190 pounds, and they knew he was going to be a project, but nobody could block him in their training camps and things. So they start putting him out there, and he just makes play after play. So I think he's a late first round guy.
Last guy I'll ask you about up front, Kalijah Kancey, not necessarily just through a Steelers lens. How do you think he'll be as an NFL player? Where might he get drafted? And is there any connection to the Steelers at all, do you think?
I don't think they're after that type. And obviously, everyone's going to compare him to Aaron Donald. The poor kid, he's got no chance to be Aaron Donald. Nobody does. He wins with great explosion off the ball. Like, his 40 time was tremendous, but his 10-yard split was even better. And that translates to tape. I mean, he is low. He's Geno Atkins type, really hard to get your hands on. But he's got short arms, which worries me. And I wonder, worst case scenario, he might just be a interior pass rush specialist. You know, like, I don't know that he holds up against the Ravens on the inside for 60 snaps and probably doesn't fit here.
Last thing in the front seven, Matt, I think it's a little bit easier to identify these days where the Steelers are looking in terms of inside linebacker. They addressed inside linebacker twice in free agency. I don't know where you are on this. I've made a lot of smoke and noise about how I wish they would have spent a little bit more on inside linebackers in the first wave, because I didn't think they were all that expensive, aside from Tremaine Edmonds.
Right.
I really like TJ Edwards. He was the guy I wanted to see them get from Philadelphia, because I think he's better in coverage than a lot of the other guys that were out there. But David Long was another name that came to mind for me. But they did get two guys. Do you think they felt like between those guys and Robinson, who's a holdover from last year, that they've adequately addressed inside linebacker? Or might they be tempted by a Jack Campbell, a Drew Sanders, a Noah Sewell, somebody like that?
Yeah, Trenton Simpson's a name to know, too, also from Clemson.
Yeah, I think he might be gone, but okay.
Maybe at 32. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he'll last deep into the second round. I would not take any of these off-the-ball linebackers at 17. Sanders and Simpson are my favorites. I think Roberts is a true placeholder. I mean, I think that he can – he's a little bit old-school, downhill thumper, not very good in coverage. Where Holcomb, to me, is a nice pickup. I think Holcomb is an answer. I mean, if you Google his combine numbers, he's a much, much better athlete than people are giving credit for. And now his play is starting to catch up with his athleticism. He only played six games last year for Washington, but he was starting to really come into his own. So I think Holcomb's a really nice pickup. But I'm with you. I mean, I wrote several articles about this free agency class has 12, 15 off-the-ball linebackers that are all better than what the Steelers had last year. And I think they got one of them in Holcomb. I would have preferred they got two, especially after I saw the price tags of the non-Edmonds guys.
When we come back on Wednesday for the third day of Draft 101 with Matt Williamson, we're going to talk about the offensive line. And then later on in the week, we'll talk about the skill position guys, quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs. But it's the offensive line tomorrow as we continue with Draft 101. Matt Williamson, Tim Benz here on Breakfast with Benz.